here for about 2 or 3 hours. We'll have some food. And then we're going to dedicate these boxes. I know the kids have probably, I'm not sure how many more, but we'll find out in a little bit. They'll come down and we'll gather around and dedicate these boxes and we'll have some food. Does that sound good to you? But first, a man is driving down a country road when he spots a farmer. This farmer is standing in the middle of a huge field of grass. He pulls the car over to see the side of the road and notices that the farmer is just standing out there doing nothing, looking at nothing, just standing. The man gets out of the car. He walks all the way out to the farmer, asks, "Excuse me, mister, I've noticed you've been standing here a long time. What are you doing?" The farmer replies, "Well, I'm trying to win a Nobel Prize." "How?" asked the man. "Well, I heard that they give the Nobel Prize to people who are outstanding in their field." That's a groaner. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. I know it's a groaner. Grab your Bibles. Grab your... I thought we needed a little bit of a groaner. You want another one? Next week I'll do a better one. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. This is our second time. We're going to talk a little bit more about speaking kindly. Would you grab your Bibles, turn to James. James chapter 3, and once you've found it, I'd love you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. James chapter 3. And don't worry, neighbor, with your Bible. James chapter 3. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man." Anybody perfect here this morning? Because if anybody's perfect here this morning, I'll give you the microphone. "He is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." I don't know why we're laughing, but I love it when Diana laughs. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Come on. James chapter 3 verse 3. "Indeed, put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest fire kindles." A little fire kindles, excuse me. "And the tongue is a fire of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing." What? "My brethren, these things ought not be so." The same mouth blessing, the same mouth cursing. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, God. May our tongue be filled with blessing. Only praise. How will I sing your praise? Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grape vine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but the sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Y'all know we were here recently. I did a whole series, but the wisdom that is from above, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are your servants here this morning, and we repent. Father, we repent that our tongues speak blessing and cursing. It ought not be so. Lord, may our mouths not be set on fire by hell. May our mouths be set on fire from heaven. That blessing and praise and honor and glory and goodness, that love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness, Father, the gospel of peace is in our hearts. May we have gospel shoes on. May we walk peace. May we walk peace wherever we roam today. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Anybody know the name Ray Pritchard? Do you know Ray Pritchard and Keep Believing Ministries? I recently studied something he penned entitled Bite Your Tongue. And that's the title of my message today. If you're taking notes on the back, that's why we always leave the back of that bulletin free for you to take notes. Bite Your Tongue, based on James 3. 1-5. Obviously, we're not talking literal figure of speech here. We're not talking literal. This is a figure of speech. I'm not asking us all this morning to literally bite our tongue. Just making sure you understand that. Biting your tongue means you don't say everything that you could say. You don't say everything that you could say. You hold back when you could give someone a piece of your mind, which is also a figure of speech, to give someone a piece. Sometimes we need an interpreter for all of our figures of speech. Listen, most of the time, it's just better to bite your tongue than to give someone a piece of your mind. Have you found that to be true? We are coming off a very heated presidential campaign. Have you ever seen more people more divided than they are this year? Have you ever seen it like this before? I know that we've had election seasons where it has been close, but we are very divided and we're very mean about it. We are a troubled nation, and we need to pray for unity. And we need to walk in love, and we need to walk in grace in a country with racial and political tension. What's scary is that it's leaking into the church. Someone said he has never seen Christians as upset with each other as they are this election. Feelings are running so high that friendships are strained and broken. People are breaking relationship just over, well, did you vote for Trump or did you vote for Hillary? I can't be your friend if you voted for Trump or if you voted for Hillary. What? a certain amount of disagreement is inevitable in any democracy, but you would hope that, especially inside the church, we could disagree agreeably. Especially on political things. I heard about a church in Birmingham, Alabama, that was filled with passionate fans of the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Auburn Tigers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Down south, they say football is not like religion. It's much more important than that. The leaders of the church, listen, the leaders of this certain church had to put up a sign outside the auditorium that read, "In this room, we are all on one team." That's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be, but often it isn't. I mean, people break, nowadays, people are breaking relationship over things that it should not be. We should be able to disagree agreeably and still hold hands. Let's not make things worse. Let's not make things worse by breaking with Christians who vote differently than we do. We're all on one team, and let's act like it. In order to do that, we're going to have to learn to bite our tongue when we feel greatly provoked. My heart was broken over and over on social media this week. And I put it aside a lot and just prayed. Anybody else? Some of us are just not on social media. God bless you. You don't have to give everyone around you every thought that you think. Some things are better left unsaid. That's the burden of James 3. It reminds us about the awesome power of the tongue for good or for evil. James is saying to me, he's saying to Paul right off at the beginning, and many of you, actually he's probably talking to all of us, because if you're in this church on a Sunday morning, you're a leader. You led people just by getting out of your house this morning and getting in your car and going to church. He says, pay attention, Paul. You'll have to answer someday for all those words. The less you say, the less you have to answer for. This is especially true of this new online reality. Keep that in mind the next time you want to fire off an angry email or post a hasty tweet or critical Facebook post. Social media is like any other medium. It's a tool that can be used for good or for evil. We will have to answer for our spoken and written words. And teachers, leaders, Christians, if you bear the name Christ, you are leading. Christians will have to answer the most for our words. So be careful about what you say. Careful about what you type. James admits we all stumble in many, many ways. There is no one except Jesus who can truthfully say, I never stumble because I never sin. The rest of us stumble through life saying foolish things. Have you noticed that about yourself? We say things that wound others. We don't need to wonder about our spiritual maturity. The folks closest to us know the truth. We all clean up pretty good, don't we? You know, we come to church on Sunday morning. We look, come on, look at your neighbor. Say, you look good. Come on. We know how to look and sound. We can even sound pretty righteous. But your wife, your husband, on Wednesday night, Leo said, I'm getting sweeter and sweeter, he said, as the days go by. And I said, well, we should ask Peggy. And he said, stop your meddling. So, see what you miss on Wednesday nights? That was fun stuff right there. I love you, Leo. You're a blessing to our church. Your wife, your husband, your children, your closest friends, they know the truth about you. It's not entirely a pretty picture. It's better to admit the truth than to argue with God. We all stumble through life. We say dumb things. We make foolish decisions. We get angry too quickly. Anybody? We get angry too quickly. We're too slow to forgive. We make hasty judgments. We criticize without knowing the facts. We judge others while excusing ourselves. We make mountains out of molehills. We speak before we listen. We brag too much. We use words as weapons. We belittle those who hold a different opinion. When James says we all stumble in many ways, he's including all of us. I stumble. You stumble. All of us stumble along the way. Romans 3:23. Do you remember it? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, that's the very first verse of the Romans Road plan of salvation. But who can quote the last phrase of verse 22? It's the key to verse 23. The last phrase of Romans 3:22 says, there is no difference. Wow. Oh, did you, the Holy Spirit just went, ooh, did you get that? The Holy Spirit, right? All, did you get that? There is no difference. When it comes to being sinners, there is no difference between rich or poor, young or old, male or female, black or white, Democrat or Republican, or any of the other ways we slice and dice the human race. God is no respecter of persons. When he looks down from heaven, he sees an entire planet that has gone rogue. We rebel against him. That's why there is no difference is the key to Romans 3:23. We're all in the same boat. And the boat is going down. If God doesn't do something, we will all sink together. But is anybody thankful for the gospel? How we use our tongue reveals our spiritual maturity or lack thereof. The word perfect in verse 2 has the idea of being whole, a wholeness, a completeness. Show me a man who controls what he says, and I'll show you a man who controls his whole body. This is a hard truth about the spiritual life. Sins of the tongue lead to sins of the body. First we speak, then we act. I love how the New Living Translation translates Proverbs 21:23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut.
Glory!
I love it when my Bible tells me to shut up. I can't tell you how many times the Holy Spirit, more than anything else, the Holy Spirit tells me to hush. That's my experience with the Holy Spirit. More than anything, because I have foot and mouth disease. More than anything else, hush. Because I want to be a peacemaker. Watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Brian Bill offers a succinct summary of the power of the tongue, and it goes like this. Express or repress. Release or restrain. Enlighten or obscure. Adore or abhor. Offend or befriend. Affirm or alienate. Build or belittle. Comfort or criticize. Delight or destroy. How are you using your tongue? The illustrations in verse 3 and 4 hardly need any explanation. A tiny bit controls a massive horse. The rider pulls left or right and the horse goes in that direction. He pulls on the reins. The bit tightens. The horse stops. A 5-inch bit. Show me 5 inches. 5-inch bit weighing a few ounces can control a 1,000-pound horse. In the same way, a tiny rudder controls a mighty ship. If the captain turns the wheel one way, the rudder turns the whole ship that way. If he turns the wheel another way, the rudder turns the whole ship in another different direction. It's the difference between ending up in Copenhagen or Hong Kong. The bit, the rudder, both require a strong hand to be effective. Oh, that's good. The bit, the rudder, both require a strong hand to be effective. Anybody notice the strong hand of God in their life? The bit controls the horse only and the rider pulls the only if the rider pulls the reins. A rudder will only steer correctly unless the captain turns the wheel. Oh, Jesus, take control of me. I surrender all. Because the tongue has such power to influence every part of your life, we must learn to direct it properly. The tongue itself is this tiny muscular organ weighing 2 to 3 ounces. That means it makes up 1/10 of 1% of the average person's weight. Almost everything in your body weighs more than your tongue. But what havoc the tongue wreaks. What trouble it causes. The tongue can produce great evil or enormous good. I have to proclaim again Proverbs 18:21. Remember it from last week? The tongue has the power for life or death. Every time you open your mouth, either life or death comes out. It's just reality. Every time you open your mouth, it is life or it is death. Every time. What will come out of your mouth today? The great Chicago fire started on October 8th, 1871. Anybody remember that? One story says it began when Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern. You know what I'm talking about? In a barn. While that may or may not be true, investigators determined the fire started in or near this O'Leary barn. By the time it was extinguished on October 10th, the fire had consumed 17,500 buildings and killed nearly 300 people and left 100,000 more homeless. It caused an estimated at the time 200 million in damage, and equivalent to today would be 4 to 5 billion. An old song says, anybody remember this old song? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. You know what I'm talking about? I don't even know the melody to it. Do you know the melody? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Anybody know it? I still don't know the melody. That's okay. Isn't it true, regardless of the purpose for starting the fire, it applies to spreading God's love, and it applies to other less noble activities. I want to start a fire of God's love. Fire in the fireplace. That's good. That's good. Fire on the living room carpet. That's bad. That's bad. That's dangerous. Likewise, the tongue may be set ablaze for God or for evil. The choice is ours. The U.S. Holocaust Museum owns a 1937 painting by German artist Hermann Otto Heuer. It shows a young Adolf Hitler speaking to a group of followers in the 1920s when he was still an unknown rabble-rouser. And the followers are mesmerized by his oratory. Hoyer titled his painting, "In the Beginning Was the Word." Wow. From the first verse of John's Gospel to a painting of Hitler's oratory. Words have the power to do enormous evil. Tens of millions would die from the fires of hate ignited by Adolf Hitler. But in the beginning, there was just one man and his words. In this contentious, angry world, filled with so many voices, ready to argue, ready to call names, ready to cast aspersions, to use words to destroy others, we need to take seriously the call of God to watch what we say. Your words have the power of life or death. Loose lips sink more than ships. They destroy marriages. They end friendships. They spread rumor. They split churches. They incite violence. They spew venom in every direction. Loose lips sink more than ships. Better to say nothing than to speak when you are angry. Better to bite your tongue than to wish you had. Better to stay out of the conflict than to get in and make it worse. J. Vernon McGee once remarked that it takes a baby 2 years to learn how to talk, and then 50 years to learn how to keep quiet. Yesterday, I got in my car. This is a secret between me and you. Yesterday, loose lips sink ships. Yesterday, I got in my car for 5 minutes just to escape questions. You know what I'm talking about? Kids have, they just question. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? I just needed 5 minutes without a question. I just needed 5 minutes. Don't you misunderstand me. I love those little babies. Nathaniel and Sosina are my world. Takes a baby 2 years to learn how to talk and then 50 years to learn how to keep quiet. We would all do well to learn how to keep quiet sooner rather than later. Let me close with two simple reminders. First of all, think before you speak. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Formulate, then articulate. Proverbs repeatedly warns of the danger of hasty speech. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Woo! He who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin, Proverbs 13:3. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, Proverbs 17:27. And then 17:28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. We all instinctively know these things are true. We know we would be better off if we said less and thought about every word. But how can we do this? Have you heard of the TKN rule? One family strictly enforced it before they spoke. TKN. This is a lot like the think, THINK, that I've shared before. KN, it's actually the same thing. T is is it true? K, is it kind? N, is it necessary? So stop and think, is what I'm about to say true? Is what I'm about to say kind? Hello? Kind. Kindness. N, is it even necessary? Oh my goodness. Is it necessary? Eventually the children learned it so well, this family that strictly enforced this rule in their home, that if anyone started to make an unkind comment, one of the kids would say, TKN! TKN! Maybe we should start doing that to each other as the body of Christ. TKN! I don't know if it would always be well received. It would be a good idea if every family adopted the rule for mealtime conversation. Although it might mean we sat through a lot of meals in total silence. But silence would be preferable to allowing curses over our loved ones. I'm telling you what. Every word is life or death. Every word is blessing or cursing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to curse my family. I don't want to curse myself. Number two, yield your tongue to God. I'm almost done. We're about to eat. You cannot tame your tongue. You can't. That's why I told you the Holy Spirit, his number one job is to hush me, because he's got to do it. I have a lot of evidence from my life of not thinking before I speak. Anybody else? I have a lot of evidence of times I did not TKN. Left to ourselves, we will eventually descend into profanity. Left to ourselves, we will descend into ugly threats, dirty jokes, foolish talk, gossip, outright lying. Left to ourselves, that's where we go. Whatever is in the heart will eventually come out. And surely from my mother's womb, I was born into sin. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. In the end, the tongue is not the problem. Do you hear me? The tongue is not the problem. The tongue is simply the messenger that delivers the mail composed by the heart. The tongue is the tattletale of the heart. Yield your tongue to God. Yield your heart to God. You've given your heart to Jesus. Did you give your heart to Jesus? Have you given your tongue to Jesus? Lord, my tongue now belongs to you. If you haven't done it, do it right now. Lord, my tongue belongs to you. Have you ever told the Lord, I have been using my tongue for myself, and I am now going to use it for you. Here are my lips. Let me speak for you. Here is my mouth. Let my mouth speak the words that you want. Proverbs 16:1 says, to man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Interesting. That's an interesting one. Proverbs 16:1. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Your tongue can be put under the Lord's control. That's a great thought. Your tongue, which today may be set on fire from hell, may become a tongue under God's control. He can give you new lips. He can give you a new tongue. He can put new words in your mouth. He can baptize your speech. Anybody remember that old hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be? As a matter of fact, we sang it recently. It contains a line that speaks to this point. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. That's a prayer God will always be glad to answer. I ran across a prayer that seems to summarize all I've been trying to say. We'll let it be the final words of this message. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. Isn't that good? Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. Mary, what was in your heart? Would you stand with me if you can? Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring you our hearts. We bring you our tongues. Holy Spirit, open our mouths when they should be opened. Holy Spirit, hush our mouths when they should be hushed. Lord, this is a matter of deliverance. This is a matter of healing. Fill our tongue with faith. Fill our tongue with words of love. Fill our tongue with hope. May we walk the gospel of peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace in the storm. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth, your tongue, that you confess and are saved. Save our tongues, Lord. Baptize our speech, Holy Spirit. Sacrifice so freely given, such a price, but our redemption, heaven's gates are open wide. Hallelujah. Sing that again. All sufficient sacrifice so freely given, such a price brought our redemption, heaven's gates are open wide. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name. Oh, deliverance in the name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Lord, just break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Freedom in the name. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. An army rising up. There's an army rising. Oh Lord, an army of love. There's an army rising. An army from heaven, filled with love to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh Lord, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price. But our redemption, heaven's gate, yes, open wide. Oh,
change. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain. In the name of Jesus. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh God. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
So you don't realize that with your words this week, you created chains. You cursed when you should have been blessing. God, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace. We speak blessing. We speak love. We speak joy. We speak faith. Only praise. Only praise. God, help us not to walk around cursing our environment. May we walk around speaking blessing. In the power of the name of Jesus, the only way the tongue can be tamed is the power of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Make it so. There is power in the name. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh God, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Holy Spirit, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. In our family and friends, break every chain, break every chain, break every... We speak deliverance, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, Holy Spirit, open our mouths, shut our mouths, Holy Spirit. We give it all to you, we give it all to you. May we walk your blessing. Walk your praise. Hallelujah. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Healing, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Salvation in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price. Thank you, Jesus. Our redemption, heaven's gates are open wide. Heaven's gates set our fire, set our tongue on fire. Oh, with your love, with your love. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Hallelujah. Break every chain. Oh, by your Holy Spirit, break every chain. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. Faith, hope, love in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on up, kids.
Right in front here.